subject I seem to study in the Bible or look up in the Bible, it always blows my mind and it never ceases to amaze me just how much you talk about just every single subject in the Bible. And so, Father, please speak to our hearts and convict us and help us to live more like you would have us to live. And please just bless us for being here in church tonight. We love you. That's why we're here. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, this verse right here is probably a very common passage. This is the sermon where Jesus just really just riffs. I mean, for this whole chapter, read this sometime in your own time, Matthew 23. This is some hard preaching. Jesus is calling the Pharisees all kinds of names, and he's preaching a very harsh, negative sermon here. It's very interesting to read this. But I want to just point out this one part that's commonly misunderstood, to be honest. Let me read it for you again. It says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." This whole sermon is about hypocrites. He preaches that about 12 or 13 times. He lists that word in here. And he says, "For you may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." He's saying, you know, the way you look on the outside is all clean. It's all, you dress right, you act right, you look right. But he says, inside, you're wicked, you're ungodly. And that's what he's preaching about hypocrisy. The outward show without a heart that's doing right, without a lifestyle in private that's living right. Just an outward appearance, coming to church, putting on a show and so forth. Hypocrisy is what he's talking about. Look at verse number 26. The Bible says, "Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup." He's talking about the heart. He's talking about the inside. Clean up the inside. But watch this. "That the outside of them may be clean also." Most people say it's just the heart that matters. God looketh on the man looketh on the outward appearance, is the common verse. But God looketh on the heart. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. But let's not forget that man does look on the outward appearance. And God is saying, part of the purpose of you cleaning up the inside is so that you can be clean on the outside. Look at that in verse number 26. "Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first." That indicates that there's two things that are happening here. The first thing is cleanse the inside. That which is within the cup and platter. Why? "That the outside of them may be clean also." Now, I want to preach to you on a very interesting subject, and I've never heard a sermon on this subject before in my life. And I've heard a lot of sermons, trust me. I've heard thousands of sermons. But the title of the sermon is Be Clean. Be Clean. This is a sermon about being clean. Now, you say, come on, Pastor Anderson. I mean, that's silly. This is not something to preach on in church. Well, you would be amazed. I typed into my concordance. I have a concordance on the computer. It's called eSword. I typed it in there, and you know how many times the word clean is used in the Bible? 133 times. That's a lot. That's a major topic that's mentioned. I looked up wash 89 times. I looked up bathing. It was 19 times. It makes me think of the hippie crowd. Remember the hippies back in the 60s? And boy, Brother McCoy and I, when we were in this neighborhood on Thursday, we went into this time warp. We walked into this neighborhood in downtown Tempe in these old houses. And we stepped through a portal that we couldn't see with the human eye. We stepped through the portal and we were in the time warp. We were back in the 60s. And we walk up to this house. There were five, not three, not four, five Volkswagen buses parked in front of one house. They were all painted and peace, love, you know, it was all kinds of stuff. And we walked up to the door and it was just, I could go on and on about, there were all kinds of stories about that house. But anyhow, we saw several houses where these people were in a time warp of the 60s and 70s. But you know, you think about the hippie crowd. And they did not bathe. They go around in bare feet. They stink. Or there was another group back in the 60s and 70s called the Jesus Freaks. Have you ever heard of them before? The Jesus Freaks? And they were this group that was the Jesus Freaks. And they said, "We're the born again Jesus Freaks." And they had long hair like hippies. They listened to rock music, they had long, dirty hair, they did not bathe, they did not clean their clothes, and they had bare feet, and they were the Jesus Freaks. Does God care whether you keep yourself clean? Yes, He does. Yes, He does. Now, I've created a list here. This is the 10 commandments of cleanliness, okay? This is not the 10 commandments, kids, don't be confused, it's not the 10 commandments. that God came down, you know, that Moses came down the mountain with. Alright. But these are very important nonetheless. The Ten Commandments of Cleanliness. And I'm going to prove this to you out of the Bible. And you're going to be amazed, I think, how much the Bible has to say about this subject. Has anybody ever heard of the Black Plague? The Black Plague that wiped out one-third of Europe's population. Population of Europe in the Middle Ages, 120 million. 40 million people died in the Black Plague. If they would have known the Ten Commandments of Cleanliness that I hold in my hand right now, they would not have died. Because they died because of a lack of cleanliness, a lack of sanitation, and of total stupidity based on not having the Word of God, based on the Catholic Church, you know, making it illegal to read the Bible, and keeping people in darkness, and they lived in dirty conditions because they did not know what I'm preaching to you tonight. It's important. And kids, it's important that you learn this. Number one. And number one, two, and three all kind of go together in the Bible. They're kind of linked together. Commandment number one of cleanliness is take a shower either every day or every other day. You've got to take a shower and be clean. All right? Number two, wash your hands before you eat. You getting this? All right. Wash your hands before you eat. I'm going to show you this in the Bible. You're going to see this. Number three, fresh clothes every day. That means you don't wear today the clothes that you wore yesterday until they've been washed. All right? Now let me read to you what the Bible says about this. Genesis chapter 35, verse number 2. This is one of the first mentions that I saw of this subject in the Bible. But God says, "Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with them, put away the strange gods that are among you." He says, we're going to clean up this house. And the first thing I want you to do is get rid of the idols, get rid of the strange gods, get rid of the false religion, get rid of the Buddha statue, and get rid of the crucifix with the long-haired guy hanging on it, and get rid of all these Marys that you're praying to. He says, get rid of the idols and the strange gods. But what else? Now, it doesn't sound like he's telling them to be an independent fundamental Baptist. He's just telling them, at least get rid of your idolatry. These are just his employees. But what's the second thing that he mentions? Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. He says, look, get rid of your idolatry, and then take a shower and put on some clean clothes. I mean, why is he having to tell this to people? It's obviously a problem that they're having with being clean. Somehow the world doesn't always know how to be clean, but we as Christians in the house of God, we need to know how to be clean. That's what God's saying here. Let me read this for you. And God, well, I had to shave so much out of this message. Because, I mean, I'm looking at like all 89 times wash, all 130 times, and it was just these great verses. I was thinking, oh, that's great, I'm going to use that. But I had to just trim it out because, just for sake of time, I don't want to just belabor you with this. But let me read some of this to you. This is Leviticus chapter 15. You say, oh yeah, Leviticus, that boring book of the Bible that we don't want to read? That book has a lot of important information that you need. And you may take it for granted because somebody taught it to you, but guess what? They got it from the book of Leviticus a long time ago. And now you take it for granted. The Bible's talking about a man who's sick, who's got an illness, who's got a disease. And the Bible says, every bed whereon he lieth that hath the issue is unclean. And everything whereon he sitteth shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth his bed shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. God says, if you come into contact with anything that's dirty, anyone who's sick, he says, wash your body, take a shower, and clean your clothes. And he that sitteth on anything whereon he sat, he's sitting in the same chair that he sat in, shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. And he that toucheth the flesh of him that hath the issue shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. And if he that hath the issue spit upon him that is clean. So, oh, that's gross, isn't it? Somebody who's sick spits on you. Then he shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the evening. You say, God, why are you being so repetitive? I get the idea. I'm supposed to bathe my flesh and wash my clothes. God says, do it then. It's important to me. You say, I don't think it's important. Well, then why did God say it like 189 times? It must be important. God wants you to be clean. He wants you to have clean clothes on. Your testimony as a Christian is hurt when you're sloppy and when you're not dressed right, when you're not dressed sharp. Now, let me tell you something. Not everybody can afford nice clothing. Now, first, I bought this suit literally for $5. And I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, have I ever paid more than $10 for a suit in my life? Never. My nicest Italian suit that I have, I paid $10 for. Didn't I? $1.75. That's the Nina Ricci, and it's this fancy Italian suit. $1.75. You know, at the thrift store. I'm not some kind of a high roller whatsoever. But let me tell you something. Soap and water is pretty cheap. It's pretty cheap for hot water and soap. So you may not have nice clothes. You may have one outfit. You may have three outfits that you have, and that's all you have. But you can keep your clothes clean, and you can keep your body clean. Soap and water is cheap. You know, the Bible says about keeping your clothes clean. Man, I just have to skip all this. This is too much. But the Bible talks about sickness in clothing. It talks about clothing carrying germs in Leviticus chapter 13. And it says, if the priest look and behold the plague, plague meaning illness, sickness, germs, and if the plague be somewhat dark after the washing of it, then he shall rend it out of the garment or clothing, or out of the skin, or out of the warp, or out of the woof. And if it appears still in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof, or in anything of the skin, it is a spreading plague. Thou shalt burn that wherein the plague is with fire. These clothes are so dirty, you had to throw them in the trash and burn them. But anyway, it says, in the garment, either warp or woof, or whatsoever thing of skin it be, which thou shalt wash, if the plague be departed from them, then I shall be washed the second time, and shall be clean. He's saying, sometimes you've got to wash your clothes twice in a row, because they're so dirty, have so many germs in them. Sounds like it's important. The Bible says in Leviticus 14:8, and he that is cleansed shall wash his clothes, and shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. God is saying, look, if you're exposed to germs and dirt and filth, you've got to scrub yourself down. So you've got to shave off and really get clean. And again, I'm going to skip a whole bunch of this because there's so much. I wish you knew just how repetitive God is about this subject of being clean. But let me read this for you. Revelation 19:8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And the armies which were in heaven, this is talking about when Jesus comes back, followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Why is God taking the time to say that the armies of those that are following God when he returns the second time, their clothes are clean? Why is he making this point? Because maybe our mentality that it's not important the way we look, and it's not important cleanliness, and it's not important the way we dress, maybe it's the wrong attitude, and maybe it is important to God. By the way, their clothes were white. Now, what's the hardest color to keep clean? Probably white. Is that right? Those of you ladies who do the laundry, keeping those whites white. And God's saying, my whites are white. I mean, it's funny, but it's true. Keep the clothing clean is what God's saying. The Jesus freaks had it wrong. Not being clean. Smelling. Not wearing clean clothes. Commandment number 4. So remember number 1, showering. Every day, every other day. Number 2, fresh clothes every day. Number 3, wash your hands before you eat. Number 4, deodorant. Use deodorant. Why? Because God even says in the Bible, he says when the priests come and serve me, he says, I don't want them wearing any clothing that causes sweat. Now, why does he say that? He says they're supposed to wear linen. He lists the clothing that they can wear. And those of you who've read the Bible cover to cover, you know what I'm talking about. He says you can wear this, you can wear this, you can't wear this, you can't wear anything that causes sweat because I want you to be clean. And I don't want my servant, my priest, to stink. So number 4, put on the deodorant. Number 5, cut your fingernails, men. Now, girls, you know, you can grow it out and keep it clean. But boys, you got to cut the fingernails. I have been to job interviews after job interviews, and I had the job. You know, I've been to jobs that I didn't get, but every time I got the job, I got the job from the second I walked in the door. It had nothing to do with the interview. had nothing to do with the conversation, had nothing to do with my resume, it had everything to do with just the way that you look. I walked in, I'm dressed nice, I'm wearing a suit, I'm wearing clean clothes, my shoes are clean, my fingernails are cut, my hair is short, I've got a fresh haircut, I walk in and sit down, I look them in the eye, and I put out my hand, I don't give them the limp fish handshake. Ugh. Those of you that have grown up in church, and you know, you're shaking hands with everybody at church, there's always that guy that just gives you the limp handshake, just that limp fish. Ugh. I like a man's handshake. And I walk in, you grip the hand, how you doing? Yes, sir. And you're hired. Because you can't even hardly find that it is. So kids, you want to have the edge on the job market? Awesome, when you grow up? Boys, cut the fingernails, short hair, cleaned up, clean clothes, dress nice, means everything. You know, it's the little things that will make or break you in your life. It's the little things. You say, what's the big deal about these little tiny details? Details are everything. Details are everything. I like the verse in Song of Solomon chapter 1 where God says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. He says, it's the little foxes that are going to destroy your vineyard. It's the little foxes. It's the little things in life that will make or break you. I've heard somebody say, trifles make perfection, and perfection is no trifle. Little things are what make the difference between perfect and not perfect. You know, Brother McCoy is an electrician, and he and I both know about bending conduit, and bending conduit is a fine art. Is that right? It is literally an art form. And you might think, well, we're kidding about this, but electricians take great pride, and if you go to a store or if you go somewhere where the roof is exposed, you can see the conduit, you'll see that it's a beautiful thing. And bending that pipe, exact geometric shapes, and there's creative ways to do it, and it is a fine artwork. And there's a big difference between something that's perfect and something that's 99%. Huge difference, right? Massive difference. And that difference of just taking a little bit of time and just tweaking that bender just a little bit, that's the difference between being 99% and being 100%. And God's 100% about everything. So it's these little details sometimes that you've got to watch. You know, boy, you know, tuck your shirt in. You know, look sharp. Look clean. Dress clean. Dress nice. I have noticed the way that people treat me when I'm dressed nice versus not dressed nice. For example, when I was going to college, I'd come out of Bible college, and you know, this was the uniform. I mean, you had to wear a certain tie. And I wore a full-blown suit every single day to college. And I would get out of college, and many times I had to go straight to work. No time to do anything. I was just on the gas, flying down the freeway, getting to my first job. And I did fire alarm inspections for big department stores and everything. And I would walk in there wearing a suit like this, and I'd say, hi, how you doing? My name's Steve Anderson. I'm with M. Shaw Fire and Security. I'm scheduled to do this annual fire alarm inspection. And I would say, you know, can I speak with the manager? And boy, they would come to me, and they would bend over backwards to help me. They would be friendly. Oh, what do you need to see? What can we do for you? Then other times I'd come in there wearing just work clothes. And of course, I'm not against wearing work clothes, of course. I wear work clothes when I go to work. I try to dress appropriate to whatever occasion that I'm doing. But I noticed that when I would go in there in work clothes, and I'd be, you know, I even had the tool belt on, and I had just, you know, a pair of work pants like the, was it Dickies, the company that makes those work pants? I'd wear those nice, like, Dickies work pants and maybe a button-up shirt or something like that or some kind of college shirt. And I'd walk in, and I was still dressed nice, but I'd walk in and say, hi, I'm here to do the fire alarm inspection. And I was just a burden. I was in the way. You know, this is a bad time. You need to wait longer. And it was for some reason, when you're dressed sharp, they probably thought that I was from the fire department. You know, they probably thought I was going to shut them down or something. But I just noticed, just in general, the way that people treat you when you're dressed nice, when you look sharp. And even if you're wearing the work clothes, if your work clothes are sharp. I remember I went to the alarm supply store, and I walked in there, and the guy said, you know, I know that you work out in the field. He said, every time I see you, you're dressed up, though. He said, don't you install these things? And I said, yes. I said, I'm not always dressed up when I come in here. I said, about half the time I'm coming straight from college and I'm wearing my suit. And about the other half the time, I'm dressed in work clothes. He thought that my work clothes was my formal attire, literally. Just because I was wearing those, you know, those work pants, and just because I had a button-up shirt on, just because it was tucked in and clean and dialed in, he literally thought that that was formal. I mean, he thought I was wearing that to the office. So there's a way to wear work clothes and still look sharp. And you say, well, what's the point? You know, why do I need to do that? That's where you're going to get the promotion. That's where you're going to get the company to trust you. That's where they're going to, you know, give you the company vehicle. You know, that's where you're going to get the trust. That's where people aren't going to worry about you because they say, this guy's got his act together. This guy's clean. This guy is sharp. And boy, that'll get you so far in life, just these little things of dressing sharp, looking clean. You know, forget morality. Forget the Bible. I'm just talking about how to succeed in life, how to be wise. Show up to work clean. So that was number five, is cut the fingernails. Keep your fingernails short. You know, when I see somebody and they've got, you know, long, dirty fingernails of the boy. And, you know, you're still young yet, all right? This is why you need to hear this. So, but listen, when I see a grown man who's just filthy fingernails, you know, just really long fingernails, you know, it's going to tell you something about his character. When I see a man who's got, you know, long, shaggy hair, and that seems to be the style lately, is this long, shaggy, bushy hair. Tells me something right away about their character. Tells me something right away about their love for the Lord and so forth, because God said that you're dishonoring Christ as a man to have long hair. Even the world, even the successful businessmen of the world, Bill Gates and Donald Trump aside, as we nailed on Sunday night, or whenever that was, Wednesday night, but the successful businessmen of the world, I was just in the store the other day, and I'm looking at the ads in a print shop, you know, doing prints and putting together portfolios and everything, and I'm looking around, and there's pictures of business people advertising their goods, and they're coming in with their work. Every single one of them had a short, tapered haircut. Every single one of them. There was no, like, you know, guy with the shaggy hair like the Beatles or something walking up there with his blueprints in his drawing, in this advertisement. Because even the world knows that the successful businessman knows how to get a haircut. The successful businessman knows how to dress right. The successful businessman knows how to be clean. Okay, so number five, cut your fingernails. That's commandment number five. Thou shalt cut thy fingernails. Commandment number six, you know, clean haircut. We just talked about that. Commandment number seven, be clean shaven or keep your mustache or your beard clean. Now, I've heard people that have actually said, like, men need to be clean shaven. Now, I think that's ridiculous personally, because most people in the Bible have a beard of some kind, including Jesus Christ himself having a beard. And so, you know, the Bible's clear. I mean, he had short hair and a beard. That was his look. But having a beard is fine. But, keep it clean. This is like we're talking about. Keep it sanitized. Don't have this beard that's got, you know, spiders crawling in and out of it and everything like that, because it's so dirty and stuff living in it. Food particles and everything like that. But, you know, keep it clean. Keep it clean shaven. Keep the beard clean. And, you know, just on a side note, I've never been one of these guys that likes these real manicured beards. Okay, when I used to have it, I had a beard for a little while. I went through that phase. And I let a little bit grow on the neck, you know, because I didn't want to look like, you know, I didn't really like the super. But keep it clean, you know, keep it within reason, obviously. You want to be clean, shit. You want to be clean. You want to look sharp. You want to look like a good testimony. Number eight, brush your teeth. Brush your teeth every day. That's number eight, brush your teeth. I don't have any Bible on that one, I'm sorry. Number nine, use soap. What was number nine?
Use soap.
Use soap. Soap and warm water. What washes your hands better, cold water or warm water?
Warm water.
Warm water will get it clean. Get it as hot as you can take it, and then you sing happy birthday while you do it, so that you know that you're doing it long enough. Sing happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Steve. Happy birthday to you. Woo! All right, my hands are clean. Before meals, wash your hands with soap, hot water. Sing happy birthday. Did you know that Jesus Christ himself, and I skipped a lot of our scriptures just because we're running out of time, but Jesus Christ himself calls himself soap. Did you know that? You know, you heard he refers to himself as soap. I'm going to turn there because nobody believes me. Malachi chapter 3. This is talking about Jesus Christ coming the first time when he's going to come. This is just one chapter before the book of Matthew when Jesus is coming. And so God's paving the way for John the Baptist and for Jesus Christ. He's explaining that John the Baptist is going to come in verse 1 of Malachi. Behold, I will send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. This is talking about when Jesus went to the temple and cleaned house with the whip and everything. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. I told you. So God says, when Jesus Christ walked in that temple, he's like a refiner's fire. He's like a fire. Remember in the sermon this morning, the Bible said our God is a consuming fire in the book of Hebrews 12:29. But here he says, I'm like fire, but I'm like soap. I'm going to clean you up. Spiritually? Yes. Physically? Yes. Also. If God relates himself to soap, I want to use soap. Use shampoo also for your hair. And number 10, the final Ten Commandment of cleanliness, comb your hair and keep it neat. Girls, you know, boy, Philomena, man, she got her hair all fancied up. That's nice. I like that. Keep your hair clean. Keep it combed. Keep it neat. So the Ten Commandments, let's review quickly and then I'm going to show you some more things. Shower at least once every day or at least every other day. We'll give you that, but don't make it too hard. Number 2, wash your hands before meals. Number 3, fresh clothes every day. Number 4, deodorant. Number 5, cut your fingernails. Number 6, have a clean haircut. Number 7, be clean shaven or have a clean mustache or beard. Number 8, brush your teeth daily. Number 9, use soap and shampoo. And number 10, comb your hair and keep it neat or have it short enough to where you never have to mess with it. That's what I like about this. But not only should we have our hygiene clean and keep the clothes clean, which God talked much about in the Bible, but I want to show you a few other ways that God wants us to be clean. Let me read you some scriptures. The Bible says, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Listen to this. What is man that he should be clean, and he which is born of a woman that he should be righteous? Do you notice that God equates almost cleanliness and righteousness? In the same verse, he says, can a man be clean? Can a man be righteous? God uses this word clean as a metaphor for being righteous. He uses the word clean for a metaphor for being saved. Now, it's so easy for us to sometimes see these metaphorical meanings and miss the primary meaning that God wants us to be physically clean. Listen to this. The righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. It's talking about keeping hands clean. How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? I am clean without transgression, Job said. I am innocent. Neither is there iniquity in me. Psalm 19:9, the fear of the Lord is clean. God says, how do you describe fearing God? I describe it with one word, clean. The fear of the Lord, it's clean. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Psalm 51:7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me tell you something. You know, sin is so dirty. Let's just think about this. Why does God use clean as a synonym for righteous and unclean for something that's wrong? Think about this term. You know what God calls demons in the Bible? Devils? Unclean spirits. Have you ever heard that term? Unclean spirits. He doesn't really use the term demon and devil that much. He usually refers to them as unclean spirits. They're not clean. Sin is dirty. It's filthy. I remember, you go to the place where sin abounds, it's dirty. Go to a house where there's prostitution and where there's ungodliness and immorality, you'll find dirty laundry piled up to high heaven in that house. Go to a house where people are lazy and they're on welfare, and there'll just be dirty laundry piled up. Go there and there'll just be beer bottles stacked up. You'll find old food that's days old sitting out on the counter, because where sin abounds, dirtiness and filthiness abounds. And that's why God refers it to being clean. You know, alcohol is dirty. Let me read for you what God thinks about alcohol. This is what God thinks about alcohol. And I want you to turn to this one. This is Isaiah 28:7. Isaiah, it's one of the big books toward the end of the Old Testament. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, those three big ones. Isaiah chapter 28, I want to read this to you. Isaiah 28, verse number 7, Isaiah 28. But they also have erred through wine. This is Isaiah 28:7. But they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. So these are people that are drinking alcohol. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. This is talking about a pastor of a church. I mean, a priest. A priest and a preacher, it's saying. They're both drunk. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Listen to this picture that he paints in verse number 8. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Now, I didn't write that. You say, well, you're disgusting to preach that way. I didn't write that. God is saying in his book that he wrote, he says, where these people drink alcohol, the table's full of vomit. Is that what you want, kids? Kids, is that what you want to grow up and drink beer? Is that what you saw in the Budweiser ad? On the screen when all those good looking people came up and the fancy cars? Did they show you a table full of vomit and say drink Budweiser? No. Do they show you a filthy house and say drink Coors? Do they show you a pile of dirty laundry and say drink Miller Lite for a good time? No, they don't show you the table that's full of vomit. But God says where alcohol abounds, vomit and filthiness, and there's no place clean. It's dirty. Alcohol's dirty. Listen to this. This is Leviticus chapter 10. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink. Thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. He says, if you go into my house, if you go into my tabernacle, and you drink wine or strong drink, I'm going to kill you. That's what God's saying. Isn't that what he said? Let me read it again. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. Well, that's the Old Testament. It says forever, forever. It's my law forever. Don't drink. But look at verse number 10 where he explains why he doesn't want them to drink. God, why can't we just have a little social drinking? You know? Why can't we just have a little brewski here and there and a little glass of wine with our dinner or what have you? What's the big deal? Well, this is why. That you may put difference. Why, God? That you may put difference between holy and unholy and between unclean and clean. He says, why? Because when you drink alcohol, you can't tell the difference between what's holy and what's unholy. And you can't tell the difference between clean and dirty. That's why alcohol and filthiness and dirtiness go hand in hand. But I want to say also that smoking is dirty. What's wrong with smoking? You say, good night. Smoking doesn't make me, you know, as alcohol, behold strange women and utter perverse things and vomit all over the table, as God just said. But what's wrong with smoking? I'll tell you what's wrong with smoking. It's dirty. It's dirty. Think about it. It makes your teeth dirty. It makes your breath smell dirty. It makes your house smell dirty. You ever buy something on eBay? Who knows what eBay is? You ever buy something on eBay? Okay, what's it say? Smoke-free home. Smoke-free, pet-free home. You ever seen that on there? When they sell stuff, who's ever seen that? But boy, Austin, good night. What have you been buying without your mom knowing about it? But whenever you buy stuff in the newspaper, whenever you buy stuff on eBay, smoke-free, pet-free home. Why? Because smoking's dirty. Because if you buy something on eBay, you don't want to buy a sweater and smoke. That's why you go to the restaurant, smoking or non-smoking. That's why you go to a motel room. They can clean it, they can Lysol, they can air freshen. You walk in there, whoops, I got the smoking room. Time to go back to the front desk and get another room because smoking makes a room dirty. It makes the car dirty. It makes your mouth dirty. It makes your lungs dirty. It makes your body dirty. It's not clean. You know what God said about being clean? He said, depart from me. Depart ye. Depart ye. He says, go. Go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. He's saying, don't go places where it's dirty, where things are unclean, where things are ungodly. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. God says, be ye clean. That's the title of the sermon. Be ye clean. I mean, don't smoke. Don't drink. Take a shower. Take a bath. Use soap. Brush your teeth. Get a haircut. Be clean. Boy, I love cleanliness. I love being clean. And don't get me wrong, I'm not one of these neat freaks. Sometimes I wish I were. But I'm not at all. And this is something that I have to do by character. I'm not one of these people by nature who just everything is just immaculate and laid out and you walk in and it's just, you know, my dad is a clean freak. He rides his dirt bike. And boy, we would go on these 2-3 days dirt rides out in the desert. We'd get back. And I'm so tired, I would just go up and just crash in the bed. I mean, I stumble up the stairs and just crash in the bed. And my dad was just as tired as I was, but we would get home. We'd unpack the truck. I'd crash in bed. You know what my dad was doing while I was laying in bed? He would go out and he would take his motorcycle. And he would clean his motorcycle. And I'm not exaggerating whatsoever. And he had this motorcycle for years. I will not exaggerate. We had it just caked in mud. I mean, you couldn't even hardly see the colors of his motorcycle. It was just caked in dirt, mud, filthy. He would wash that motorcycle, and it literally looked like a brand new motorcycle. And I'm not exaggerating whatsoever. It looked like it came off the showroom. He had a special toothbrush in the garage, literally, that there was no purpose for this toothbrush but to clean his motorcycle. Now, I'm not saying that's what we need to do, because I don't do that at all, and I'm not like that. I'm saying he's like that. I'm trying to illustrate to you that I am not a neat freak or a clean freak, but sanitation and being clean is the main thing I'm talking about here. Being clean, being sanitary. But on top of that, do you think that your husband wants to come home from work to a filthy house? No. He wants to get home and have the house clean. He wants it to be clean, because cleaning is vital. Didn't God think it's clean? I mean, didn't God think it's important to be clean? And so you got to straighten things up around the house. Kids, keep your room clean, right?
I tried to.
All right, good. All right. Don't try, do it. Keep it clean. All right, get the room clean. Austin, you gonna keep your room clean? Just say yes. All right, but keep it clean, because you know what? You better start cleaning it now. Or else, when you grow up, it's going to be a lot harder to change your ways. But if you grow up when you're young, keeping the room clean, then you're going to keep your house clean. Now, if I were God, which I'm not, but let's say I were God, and I said, I'm going to decide what kind of house to give Austin. Should I give him a mansion? Big old huge mansion? You know, big old swimming pool. How about a water slide in the back? Yeah. Big dual freezer just full of all ice cream, every kind of ice cream in the freezer. That sound good? All right. Just all the excitement, a basketball court out back. Huh? Does that sound good? A whole room just devoted to foosball and ping pong tables and air hockey where you don't even have to put the quarters in. You don't even put a quarter in. It just works. Huh? That sound good? Why would I, and we're pretending that I'm God, which I'm not, why would I give you a house like that if I know you're going to make it dirty? I mean, that's a big house. That's a lot of cleaning. But I'm going to look at how well you keep your room clean and say, well, you know, he keeps his room clean, I'm going to give him a house. But if you keep it filthy, I'm going to say, well, you know, why would I give you something nice if you're not going to keep it nice? You understand that, Austin? So if you keep what you've got nice, then maybe God will upgrade you to something a little nicer. And you keep that nice, and God will upgrade you again to something a little nicer. Being clean is vital. You know, God talks about being clean in the bathroom. And I don't want to be graphic or anything, but sanitation in the bathroom is vital. Let me read this for you. And if I'm being graphic, then the Bible's being graphic, because I'm just going to read it. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 23:13, "And thou shalt have a paddle upon thy weapon. And it shall be, when thou wilt ease thyself abroad, thou shalt dig therewith, and shalt turn back and cover that which cometh from thee." Now, if you understand that, then you're old enough to understand that, and you don't think it's, you know, something bad. But anyway, it says, "For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee, and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee, and turn away from thee." It's saying God walks around in this camp. He says, the bathroom needs to be outside the camp. You need to take what comes out in the bathroom and put it far away outside the camp and bury it underground. This would be a modern day toilet, of course. This would have ended the plague right here. This point right here, they would have understood this. And God says, I don't want to walk through your camp. He says, if there's filth and disgusting bathroom stuff, I'm not even going to come there, he says. He says, I'm just going to turn away from you. He says, do you want my presence? Do you want my presence in your home? Do you want my presence in your life? Then keep it holy. Holy? Boy, that sounds like, you know, morality. It sounds like righteousness. God says, no, I'm talking about being clean with the bathroom. That's what I'm talking about, cleaning the bathroom. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Who's ever heard that saying before? Now, that's not found in the Bible, contrary to popular belief. But maybe it's not real far from the truth. Maybe cleanliness is important. And this is something that every single one of us could work on, myself included. Keeping things straight, keeping things neat, keeping things clean. Our appearance, our house, the bathroom, our clothing, everything, our lifestyle, our morality, what goes into our eyes, what goes into our ears, be clean. That's the message. Be clean.